We'd like to begin by congratulating those sisters who have advanced in the religious life, and especially those who are going to be taking their final vows at the time of Holy Communion. We'd like to congratulate all of the sisters, their spiritual family, and also all of the sisters taking steps, their families and their friends, and all of you who have come to watch and witness these wonderful ceremonies. What a beautiful feast is celebrated today, and how appropriate it is that we celebrate this feast, and we also have the sisters taking the religious steps. As you will notice as you leave the church in the back on the gospel side, near the baptismal area, there is the image of our Mother of Perpetual Help. How significant is that image? Everything of that image reflects our Blessed Mother. Her lips are very small, her eyes are very large, to show that our Blessed Mother is always watching over us, her spiritual children. We also know that Jesus, with both of his hands, holds on to our Blessed Mother's hand. Jesus holding on to his mother's hand shows total trust and confidence. On either side of our Blessed Mother, the Christ child, are the angels holding the instruments of the Passion. And if you look along the flowers, they're blocking the image completely. But our Lord's sandal is falling off, symbolic that he was running to his mother and putting his trust and confidence in her. Jesus was indeed true God and true man, one person with two natures. How often we have spoken about the powerful intercession of our Blessed Mother. We have, right from sacred scripture, Gospel of St. John, chapter 2, the wedding feast of Cana. Jesus' hour had not yet come. They were running short of wine. They had no wine. Vinum non habent. And our Lord said to his mother, "Was it to me and to thee, woman, my hour is not yet come?" And our Blessed Mother, without hesitation, goes to the attendants and says, "Do whatever he tells you." Christ, the Son of God, worked his first public miracle recorded in the Gospel at the request of his own mother. He changed water into wine. And he called his mother woman, not of any disrespect, but to remind us that she is the woman spoken of in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. God said to Satan, "I will put enmities between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and she shall crush thy head." Our Blessed Mother is the one chosen by God to crush and humiliate and conquer Satan. Our Lord, when he was dying on the cross, he looks down upon his mother. This is in the Gospel of St. John. Once again, we read this just momentarily. Now, he stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. And once again, Jesus calls his mother woman. "Woman, behold thy son." Our Lord's once again reminding us that this is the woman spoken of in the book of Genesis by God to Satan, who will crush the head of Satan. When we think of our Blessed Mother's powerful intercession, how important it is, all of us, clergy, religious, laity, we foster great love and affection for the Mother of God, the Mother of Jesus Christ, our spiritual mother. We all know that we live in some very, very difficult times. Our society has become so corrupt, immoral, obscene, and indecent. Satan seems to be very successful in leading souls astray and leading them to hell. And let us not underestimate how Satan is going to especially to attack those who are dedicated to God. And whenever we honor our Blessed Mother, whenever we say even the simple Hail Mary, we are fulfilling prophecy. Our Blessed Mother, when she was visiting her cousin Elizabeth, when Elizabeth praised her, she gave it all to God. My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She said, henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. And as we honor our Blessed Mother and love her, let us remind ourselves we're fulfilling prophecy. A prophecy that's been fulfilled for nearly 2,000 years. But let us not underestimate the importance of devotion to Our Lady. And dear sisters, you all know the different sacramentals that your very habit consists of. You wear the brown scapular as a part of your habit for those taking 3-year vows and final vows. You have your rosary on your side and you wear Our Lady's miraculous medal. All those wonderful reminders of your love and dedication to our Blessed Mother. May those sacramentals be a reminder of the importance of, like Jesus, an image of our Mother Perpetual Help. You take Our Lady's hand with both of your hands, total trust and confidence. We know that you not only take the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience, the vows, which is the foundation of religious life, a stable state, a state in common with the 3 vows, but also unique to the congregation is consecration to Jesus through Mary, St. Luke's de Montfort's consecration. And if someone were to ask me, how do you summarize total consecration? It's a complete trust and confidence in our Blessed Mother. I am astounded how quickly the world is transforming. It seems like where we're at now in 2023, just some 2, 3, 4 years ago, we would have never imagined how far away from God the world has turned. And the future does not look very, very bright at all. But let us remind ourselves, this is not a battle between Republicans and Democrats and pro-life and pro-choice or abortionists. It's not a battle between any of the political rivalries. It is a spiritual battle. The spiritual battle over souls. Satan would like nothing more than to destroy souls. What's happening in the world today by the political powers, they're trying to overturn all the good that has been accomplished by Christ and His church. When I hear and I see the things going on, it's anti-Christ, against Christ. And let us not for a moment think that being members of the Church of Christ, the one true Church of Christ, the Catholic Church, let's not think for a second that the devil is not going to try to destroy Christ's church. What we see happening in the world today, and especially in our country, it's sad to see our country being destroyed from within. The exact same thing happened within the Catholic Church. An infiltration within the church to destroy it from within. As much as it makes us sick to see our country go down this precipice, let us remember that this very thing is happening in the 1960s in the church. As I travel and I see churches closed, schools closed, and see the devastation, a devastated vineyard, an enemy has done this. But let us never forget, as our Lord promised, the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And our Blessed Mother said, in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. We've spoken about this so often in the past. Some people think the words of Our Lady of Fatima, in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph, will mean that you turn on the radio and you can pick up a Gregorian chant. You can open up the Spokesman Review and the front page is Lives of the Saints. And this is going to be all spiritual, and there's going to be a statue in every corner, just like in Europe. But our Lord tells us, think ye when the Son of Man comes again, that he's going to find faith on the earth? Those words of Christ tell us, that the faith is not going to be widespread. So how do we reconcile this with Our Lady's promise? Very easily. Satan did his utmost to destroy souls, to destroy the church. And yet, the church will still persevere. And our Blessed Mother's Immaculate Heart will triumph, because no matter what Satan did to infiltrate the church, infiltrate society, and try to destroy souls, the gates of hell did not prevail. Hopefully, we'll persevere in these times. And I can only say that I worry, especially for our young children. The world that they're facing today is incredibly perverse. But we look above the altar, and we are reminded, if we want to persevere, just as at the time of Christ's crucifixion, seeing spiritually everything was lost, Jesus' enemies had discredited him, he's being crucified, he's being mocked and ridiculed, abandoned by his apostles, and yet there's a small group that stands at the foot of the cross. His mother's sister, Cleophas, Mary Magdalene, and the disciple whom Jesus loved. Spiritual writers tell us that St. John persevered or was faithful at the foot of the cross because he was in a company with Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of God. It was by his company with her that he was given the strength and the grace to be faithful to Christ. Let us remind ourselves that if we're going to persevere in these times, we also have to stand at the foot of the cross as the church goes through her spiritual crucifixion in company with Our Lady. Let not a day go by that we don't pray our rosary. Let a day not go by that we don't call our Blessed Mother frequently, especially in time of temptation. Never was it known that anyone who had recourse to Our Lady was left unaided. And finally, let us remind ourselves, as our Blessed Mother's spiritual children, we children resemble their parents. We need to imitate our Blessed Mother. And of all her beautiful virtues, especially her humility, the humble handmaid of the Lord, especially her charity. She went with haste to the hill country to help her cousin Elizabeth. At the wedding feast of Cana, she noticed they ran out of wine, and she came to her aid. And also her conformity to the will of God. Humility, charity, and conformity to the will of God. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Be it done unto me, our Blessed Mother said, according to thy word. Our Blessed Mother is our model for all of us, especially for our dear sisters. Let us do our best if we want to be pleasing to God, and that is our vocation, that's our calling, that's our job. That's our profession. Let us remember to look to Mary as your model and example. I would like to end by saying, when our Blessed Mother appeared at Fatima, we know she appeared as a loving and kind mother and concerned mother. But what was her concern? So many souls go to hell because there's no one to pray and sacrifice for them. Dear sisters, you call yourselves oblates, oblate sisters. Your life is an oblation to God. By your three vows, you're nailed to the cross with Christ. How many souls you're going to save by faithfully living religious life? Three Sundays ago, coming back from a long trip, offered three masses, and received a phone call from one of our parishioners, and he said it was a friend of him dying. He's 96 years old, and his family wants a minister to see him before he dies. So it sounded like he wasn't Catholic and they didn't go to church. So I inquired, I said, let me check, there's a Israeli priest here coming in from Minnesota, Kansas, Wisconsin. I'll figure out who's going to get there first and how's going to get there first. So I went to see him. And when I went in, I prayed some prayers in his ear. I gave him conditional absolution, and I was trying to not try to push too much and get rejected. But his granddaughter, she said, thank you for coming. And I said, I'd just like to ask, he was baptized. She said, oh, yes. I said, well, let me just tell you that in my experience, I think sometimes some ministers do not perform baptism properly. Would you mind if I were to baptize him? She said, oh, that would be fine. I was very relieved, because I wasn't quite sure what I was going to encounter. So I talked to the man in his ear. They told him that I was going to make sure that he was baptized. I wanted to believe in all that Jesus has taught. Of course, the Trinity, the divinity of Christ, the Incarnation. And also to be sorry for his sins. And then we conditionally baptized him. So it's one of those things where, he was unconscious, so they can only hope that he was aware of what was going on. Then the granddaughter said, why don't you come? I want to show you what was in his bedroom. Now, this man lost his wife about 35 years ago. And I said, oh, that'd be fine. I went back there. He had a statue of the Pietà. It was one of those, cases, Pietà with Our Lady holding Christ, and it was a sick call kit underneath. They opened it up. She said, well, I didn't even know it was there. I said, there's a crucifix here, there's holy water there, and this and that. I'm curious where he got this, because he's not Catholic. She also has this here. That was his grandparents, their wedding certificate from 1895. They were Catholic. He also had a blessing from Pope Benedict XV in 1917. When I left, I was just thinking about it, how many people died three Sundays ago that night. And of all the people that died, that this man happened to know someone who was a Catholic, who would be able to contact a priest and that man see a priest, have a visitation of a priest before he died. And I think that the statue of Our Lady and the little that he had, he was a good man, he was a God-fearing man, but he didn't know much. They said that, if I remember correctly, that he didn't have a very good education either. He was just a hard-working person, and what he had, he used. And I don't underestimate our Blessed Mother. Perhaps his relatives, too, praying for him, was allowing him to be able to see a priest before he died. And those things don't happen randomly. And your sisters, it could have been your prayers, your sacrifices, the crosses that you carried with the grace to bring that person around. I'd like to share one last story with you. I travel a lot. I was just up in Minnesota not only just last week, but earlier, about a month ago, stopped at a gas station. I know the people quite well, small gas station, very, very small town, less than 100 people. I know the owner, the two owners, husband and wife. And the woman says, somebody left her lottery ticket behind. Would you like it? I said, yeah, I'll take it. I don't know anything about the lottery. I've never bought a ticket in my life. Well, how do you even figure this out? Come back tomorrow. We'll see if you win. I was thinking, yeah, we're winning millions of dollars. So if you want another drum roll, I went back the next day. I didn't win. I didn't expect to win, but I thought it would be interesting if it did. But you know, you sisters have won the spiritual lottery. After the gift of the true faith, to be called to the religious life is a unique sign from God that He loves you and He wants you to belong to Him alone. And for that, you can never thank God enough. You won the spiritual lottery. And what does our Lord promise for all your sacrifices and everything you left behind? He promises a hundredfold in this life and a life to come, eternal life. You can't beat that. So as we celebrate our Blessed Mother's Feast, Mother Perpetual Help, and we witness these wonderful ceremonies for the sisters taking their vows, especially the final vows, we'd like to remind the sisters from the bottom of your heart, thank Jesus and Mary for your vocation and show your gratitude to them by living your life, living it to its fullness. And one last little bit, we mentioned this at the graduation early this month. Carpe diem, seize the day, seize the moment. Make the most of every moment of your life. Live for God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. And when you, as the years go by, look back, if you lived and gave God 100%, you gave it all you got, you're going to be able to look back with satisfaction and know that you couldn't have lived a life better than that. What greater work is there? What greater vocation there is there than to work for the salvation of souls and the greater glory of God? What a greater profession than to become a professional religious, dedicating your life, your entire life, exclusively to the service of God? You can't do any better than that. So as we continue Holy Mass, let us give thanks to God and our Blessed Mother for our vocations. And let us show our appreciation by living fervently, zealously, our holy vocations. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.